Yes, and this is Racing HQ coming from Werribee, the home of the Internationals. And as I was explaining earlier, Big Orange was at one of the last horses out this morning, and I've put it on the Twitter band there, at Andrew Bensley, the Gallop, if you want to have a look at that. But I was telling you about the large group of people that were here, and I yelled out in an ad break, I said, "Hey, can you come up?" And Tim Gredley has done that, one of the lucky owners of this horse, the six-year-old in our terms, that's running on Tuesday. Thanks for your time, Tim.
No problem at all.
And thanks for, you probably looked up and thought, what in the hell, what's that bloke doing up there?
We thought we'd done something wrong and we were getting shouted at, yeah.
Thanks for coming up at short notice. Mate, tell us about the group of people that are here. How many of, and the majority are from the UK?
Yeah, we've got the five of us, which is from the family, and then the trainers, Mike Bell, his two sons have come over, and then also my sister lives in Melbourne.
Okay.
So her kids are here and her husband, so it looked like a big bunch of them this morning.
It was, and they all had what you've got there, and I'll take another photo shortly, but the big orange caps, you're not going to get missed on Tuesday, are you?
No, I'm not sure we'll wear them on Tuesday, but
You will if you win it.
Yeah, I will afterwards, that's for sure, yeah.
We spoke with Mike yesterday on the show, and it was his first morning, but all the reports seem to be pretty good on the horse.
Yeah, he seems in good order. He's been running great at home. We've been saving him for this race. So as long as we get our ground, then we're really looking forward to it.
And the ground is firm, isn't it? That's the big key you're looking for.
We need firm ground, yeah. I mean, he has won on different ground, but he performs best on decent ground.
Yeah. Flemington, we were just talking about it off air. The rain is meant to arrive on Sunday morning, a bit of a thunderstorm or something like that, but if it doesn't rain during a race meeting, Flemington automatically comes up good three, good four, which is firm anyway. So that's really what you're
after. That's
what
we're hoping, yeah.
James McDonald rode the horse a couple of starts ago, and we know, obviously, James based out of Sydney for Godolphin. He was really talking it up after that. I think that tells us that he's going pretty good.
And he's going well. And actually, that day he won over a mile and a half. He's actually a very versatile horse. He's won over a mile and a half and 2 miles. And James, was very positive. But again, it was fast ground. The horse was, the sun was shining. But it looks, Stead's in good order, I think.
And the way that he won after that too, winning the Goodwood, he was really strong, wasn't he?
Yeah, very good. And he really had to dig deep that day because he maybe went a little bit quicker up front, but he's a very tough horse, and sometimes when the others come to him, he pulls it out a bit more.
Tell us a little bit about your family. It's unusual spelling. It's Gredley.
Gredley. We bred Big Orange, so it's even more exciting for us. We have a stud back in England called Stetchworth Park Stud, and we breed from maybe 10-15 mares, but we're a property based company, so we do a bit of both.
Okay, and just did everyone come last year?
No, my father's, he hasn't come last 2 years because it's a long way from England, but he'll be sat up in the morning watching the race. But we do think we got a good chance this year, so we thought, let's make the most of it. We'll probably never have this chance again.
Well, he's a horse that's in red-hot form, and that's what you need. It is, we talk about so many internationals coming, but it's still bloody tough to win.
It's tough to win, and you don't realise it's a long way for these horses to travel. And these old campaigner horses is a big advantage, I think, when they've been abroad before, they can relax and settle into it. So I think he ran really well last year for considering, but hopefully he's matured from that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's must be such an exciting time for you all. How many are in total, you reckon, are here?
I think when we turn up, I'd say there's probably going to be 15 of us in total. Yeah,
fantastic. It was just I was looking down here this morning, and particularly the three young kids.
Yeah.
They're your sister's kids?
They're my sister's kids, yeah. They're all on the way to school, so it was quite sweet seeing them in there.
Well, they've had a big adventurous morning. They'll be able to tell the kids at school what's going on
this
morning.
I'm told they're allowed to wear their baseball caps in the lesson as well, so that's even better.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, well, look, I thank you for coming up and joining us, because it is a bit of a walk across the... You're probably thinking, where am I going?
As long as we weren't in trouble, we were fine.
No. What I'll do is get you to whack your hat on, and we'll take a photo for social media. You into social media, Tim?
Yeah, I'm getting into it, getting better at it.
Okay, well, what do I got to do? I've got to put that around like that, and then we'll get the other gentleman in behind.
We'll get one on here, though.
I'll get one on. There we go. This is great radio, but the big... I'll better smile or do something here, but no. There you go. thank you for coming up.
And no worries
at all. I do hope the horse runs extremely well for you on the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Thanks a lot,
thanks.
Tim. Tim Gregley is joining us. Good on you, Tim. Thanks very much. Thanks, mate. We really thank them for coming up. I know they had to get back into a car. Tommy Berry is online. He's ridden his Melbourne Cup mount this morning. Tommy, good morning.
How are you, Andrew?
Very well, mate. Karen Morotic, how was the field this morning? You were on the outside, weren't you?
Yeah, I was on the outside, mate. He was pretty laid back, like always. But I was very happy with his work. He had a little clocker thing strapped onto him, and he ran 34 the last 600 metres, so that was quite sharp work for him. But he was under hard riding, but he's, as I said, he's pretty laid back type. His work on Monday morning over the mile was a lot better because it was over a lot further work. So very happy with how the way he's going.
I watched you from where I am up high in the grandstand, and you really did urge him that last sort of 100 metres.
Yeah, well, they wanted him running close to 11s the last two furlongs, and we did that, just outside of 11s the last two. And they just wanted, as I said, the Monday work, they wanted long, sustained, strong work, which it was. It was really strong work, good time. And this morning they just wanted it a bit short and sharper, being closer to the race, and that's not suitable work for him. But, he's come through it really well. His heart rate dropped down within a couple of minutes, and he's fit and ready to go. But on Tuesday, we've just got to ensure it's a strong staying test, that's all.
Well, it's interesting. You would have heard just the end of Big Orange, the interview there. He's a horse that sits right up on the pace too. There may be genuine pace compared to, say, last year's race.
Yeah, but from memory, he led last year's race as well, and they went very slow. So I'm hoping this year that if he does lead, he goes along at a bit quicker tempo. And if he doesn't, then might have to put a bit of pace in the race ourselves, because my bloke's not suited by a sprint. He's got to have a very strong run race, and he'll definitely be strong at the end of it, no matter how quick they go.
Okay, so he's a horse that you've just... And just watching you this morning, is he a horse that is a vigorous ride for a jockey?
Yeah, he's very hard work. He comes off a bit a long way out, but as you see in the 10-day show, he's very strong to the line at the end of the 3200, and his 3200 metre form's exceptional. But he's not easy work, but as I said, I'll have to be fit on Tuesday because I'll be up him a long way out.
Yeah, understand. Swear, can you be up and about tomorrow in the Derby?
Yeah, well, I won't be coming off the bit as early on him, I don't think, but he's going really well, the horse. He's got a great sense of timing about him. The Hawks team have got him primed for this run fourth up, and he showed great tactical speed to put himself in the race last start, and was beaten by Yankee Rose, who's that form's franked into the Cox Plate. So he's going really well. We couldn't be any happier with him, and the thing that I like about him the most, I think he's going to stay the trip out really strong.
Yeah, I heard Michael on earlier in the week with Sean, and they were talking about he kept him in Melbourne, kept him in Sydney for a few days after that last run. He's had the jump out last Friday, so you know he's the one that hasn't really had a lot of coverage going into the Derby, but we know how strong that Sydney 3-year-old form is, Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he probably hasn't been raced as much as most of him. He's a lightly raced horse, as you said. It's only his fifth run, and that suits him. He's got to have a little bit of time between runs, otherwise he'll lose a bit of his speed. He's a pretty dour type anyway, and pretty laid back type. So he's got to have that bit of speed in his legs, and that's why Team Hawks always keep his runs quite separated. But as you said, he had that jump out to keep him up to the mark, and we're really happy with how he's going at home.
And just one final one, mate. Den Magic, in the Group 1 mile, we know how competitive this race is always, but a horse sits up on the pace. Where are you drawn tomorrow? A nice, reasonable barrier in six?
Yeah, look, she's only sat up on the pace. Two starts ago, we rode her a bit closer, or Christian Reith rode her closer, just because she'd been getting back in her runs from wide barriers and been flashing home. But last start, we were there a bit by default, just because we drew well.
Yeah.
And the pace wasn't on, where she'd be better suited, where a bit more of a genuine tempo, where she can come just off of midfield and flash home, where at Caulfield it was a bit of a sit and sprint for her, which didn't suit her, but she finished right on the winner's heels, and she's going well. She's an honest mare, and she's very rarely far away from him in any of her starts, and and she's being up against the same mares all the time, and I think the Sydney mares form's always very strong coming into this race.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, good luck. It's a big few days for all of us in racing. We love the Flemington Carnival, but particularly the trainers and the jockeys and the owners. It's an exciting time to be a part of it. Good luck with your Melbourne Cup mount on Tuesday and starting it off tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Good on you, Tommy. Tommy Berry there, straight out of quarantine down here, which is fantastic. Yeah, you're getting the very latest first here on Racing HQ. Time now, though, to get serious. I'll give you Michael Maxworthy's best for Rose Hill in a moment, but Steve Moran's online to give us his best for Derby Day at Flemington. Morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Andrew. Morning, all. Glorious day in Melbourne brewing, so hopefully it's going to hold tomorrow for Derby Day.
Yeah, broadcasting here from Werribee, Steve, and there's cloud around, but a lot of sunshine, and the track's come up as a good four with the rail in the true on Derby Day.
Yes, and looking forward to it, and hopefully we can bounce out of the gates and back the first winner.
Righto, well, where is it?
number five, Bizelle for O'Shea and McDonald. Look, I think this horse is terrific value. He's put three together. I think he just looks a progressive horse. And the other reason I like him is, you know, so often we see on Derby Day, those first couple of races, they're dominated on speed. There's not much pressure at all in this year's Carbine Club Stakes. He's got the ability to roll forward second or third, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat, and around the $7.50 mark, I think, for horses. But the picket fence beside his name, he appeals to me, Bizelle.
Bizelle, okay, for Godolphin, race one, number five at $7.50. And the Sydney form, I know that we're being heard in Sydney, Steve, so but the Sydney form seems to be really strong right across the board this year.
It certainly does, and I think it probably happens more years than it doesn't. And I think there's probably a couple of simple reasons behind that. I think you probably every year, you know, the greater depth of the better bred young horses are largely going to the big Sydney stables when you think about it. Now, Darren Weir probably hasn't joined that just yet. He will in the next couple of years. So each year, of course, the majority of those better bred horses are finishing up with Stones or Hawks or Godolphin, obviously O'Shea and Waterhouse, and so I think they fund Chris Waller, of course. So I think they have the greater depth, and I don't wonder too sometimes whether maybe just the Sydney weather being a little bit better and a little bit warmer in the lead up to the spring, that might give them a little edge as well.
Okay, well, there's Bizelle. That's race one, number five. Where's your next one, Steve?
I'm happy to stay with First Seal in the Mire, Andrew, race six, number two. I think Believe What You Saw the other day. She was obviously just that run short when John Thompson resumed her in Sydney. Came to Caulfield, terrific win at the top of the set weights and penalties in the Tristark. Really good performance. Drawn one, I suppose some people might see that as a little question mark, but I think Blake Shin will be able to manoeuvre himself into the best spot. You know, I think she is the best performed mare in the race. We hark back to her three-year-old career beating Winx. And I think what we saw at Caulfield said to me that she's back to something like her best. I think she'll be too classy for them in the Mire Classic, race six, number two.
Yeah, I mentioned this morning, I spoke with John. He really is just saying she's absolutely on a game. She's peaking third up. It's been the aim all the way along. He was, for John Thompson, he was very bullish this morning when I spoke to him off air on First Seal. So that's race six, number two. Have you got another one?
Yeah, let's go to the Cantala. And I like the three-year-old here, Seaburge. I think it's a smart play to run him with the 50 kilos. I'm not totally convinced that the older milers are, you know, are anything outstanding in this current crop. I know he's our Rocky Keeps Winning, and he's a terrific horse. But, you know, he beat Great Esteem in the Toorak. How strong is that form? You know, Voodoo Lad might be a little question mark at the mile. The United States might be a little question mark backing up. He may not be. Ironically, of course, the last time a three-year-old ran in this race was So You Think, and Hazy knocked him off with All American. But off the top of my head, So You Think had 53.5 that year because he'd won the Cox Plate, of course. But before that, he ran fifth in the Caulfield Guineas. Now, Seaburge should arguably have won the Caulfield Guineas. He goes around with 50 kilos. Yeah, I reckon he's going to be hard to beat, race 8, number 16.
Okay, Seaburge there. It's been a plotted plan, and Chad Schofield's been booked there. I think it happened probably a couple of weeks ago, and we only learned of it last weekend. But I think it's been plotted that he's always going to be taking this ride.
Yes, and look, I think it's a smart play. I mean, there's nothing much to be gained by running, you know, from a stallion potential value. You know, nothing to be gained much by running in a Norman Robinson or something like that. They can have a throw of the dice here. If he wins, it's hallelujah. Yep. Yep. Hallelujah payday. If he gets beaten, well, he loses nothing, really.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, so the three for Steve there. Race one, number five, Bazelle. Then we go to race six, number two, First Seal. And we come home with race eight, number 16, Seaburge. The big story tomorrow for our listeners is that at about 10 past 11, so it'll only be, Steve, it'll be a busy morning for you, but it's only about 35, 40 minutes before the first. You'll get all the tips for every race from Steve Moran tomorrow. That's about 10 past 11 right here on Sky Sports Radio. Enjoy Derby Day, Steve.
I certainly will. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, mate. Steve Moran there joining us with the very latest from his thoughts for Flemington, and we can't wait for Derby Day. Repeating for Derby Day tomorrow, that track at Flemington is a good four. They irrigated last night. 5 millimetres went on. I'm just going to check if there's any extra scratchings that have occurred while we've been on air, and then we'll get to Gemma. What have we got here? We've got two scratchings. Race 1, number 12, So Poised. Race 1, number 12. And race 5, number 1, Capitalist. Race 5, number 1. Let's just get Tony Pike. He's online. He's rung us back. So, Tony, we thank you. We've only got a minute or two, mate. But how is Sacred Elixir, the Derby favourite?
Couldn't be happier with his condition, Andrew. He's come through last Saturday's race in great order. He's got a very quiet piece of three-quarter pace on Thursday. Worked very well. And he's eaten up through the week. Can't fault him, to be honest.
It's always been the plan in your mind that the Vase was the right make-up race a week apart from the Derby?
Yeah, I really wanted to go and back him up only the once. I didn't really want to go to the Vase, the Guineas in the Caulfield Classic, and then 2 weeks to the Derby. It just seemed to fit a lot better for him. And you know, it seems to be that way too. I think he's probably improved a bit from Saturday's run. His coat looks great. And obviously, the form coming out of that race into the Derby is normally pretty good.
Yeah, for whatever reason, normally horses do like it a fortnight, but for whatever reason, the Vase just does work. It normally is the form race into the Derby.
Yeah, look, it has been in the past, and just probably from what I've found, horses do back out once. Quite often it's hard to do it twice in a preparation, so obviously it's a little bit different with spring three-year-olds, but he seems to be handling his racing really well.
Barrier 1 from the 2,500 metre start. How do you see that one for Zach Purton?
Look, it's probably better drawing inside. Obviously, it's a shortish run to the first corner there. Just hopefully there's not too much interference going out of that first corner. But it's probably going to be a good thing for Zach. He can just decide where he wants to park the horse depending on the tempo of the race. If they don't appear to be going overly quick early, well, he might even trail the leader. But it gives him some options just to ride him where he's comfortable.
I know he won first up. You were nervous about the second up run, whether he'd have that sprint, but now he's built into a Derby horse looking at him.
Yeah, that's what we've always thought, Andrew. Obviously, he's just had that brilliance as a younger horse to be competitive over the shorter trips, and hence why we kept the blinkers on him. But we've always thought he'd come into his own once he got over a middle distance, which hopefully appears to be the case.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks for ringing us back, Tony. Good luck tomorrow. It's a dream to have a runner, indeed the favourite, and now the horse has to do it for Zach tomorrow in Raffles Racing. Good luck with it, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tony Pike from New Zealand in Melbourne with Sacred Elixir, the favourite in the Victoria Derby.